One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Coming up on today's wrestling news, another WWE star has been released.
Non-compete agreements are banned by the FTC. This could have major ramifications for pro wrestling.
A backstage update on WWE's plans for Gunther.
And Vince McMahon files to compel arbitration in Janelle Grant lawsuit. Janelle Grant's legal team respond.
I'm Adam Wilborn.
I'm Michael Hamflett.
And this is the news. And a sad story to start with. Mm-hmm. Very sad for me in particular. I was a huge fan of this guy. But another name has been revealed in the wave of recent WWE releases. We reported over the weekend the likes of Jinder Mahal and Xia Li, Zion Quinn, Via, Tsanga, all gone. Then the Von Wagner news broke and our hearts broke with it, basically. And thank you to everyone who sent their lovely messages to me on X yesterday. But send them all to Trevor Lee, the former Cameron Grimes, who has been released by WWE. He posted a really emotional video. Great to watch in terms of to see how much passion he had for it and the story behind him getting there and the drive he has going forward, which is the most important thing really here. Mm-hmm. But Cameron Grimes, yes, released by WWE. Made in advance, of course, of the draft that starts this Friday. Grimes said that he loved working at WWE. It's the only thing he ever wanted to do. He had a nice anecdote about it. It was one of the last things that he told his father that he'd signed with WWE. But he said if he needs to go somewhere else now to show that WWE missed out, that is what he has to do. He obviously started on the North Carolina Indies, stand out for PWG and Impact, signed with WWE back in 2019. It's a weird mixed bag, that 2019 class.
Yeah. Interesting time to be signing as well, if you look at the landscape of the industry as a whole.
Obviously had that amazing stuff with the Million Dollar Championship with LA Knight. Yeah. And we were lucky enough to be in attendance when he won the North American Championship at NXT Stand and Deliver 2022?
Yeah.
Well, one of the highlights of the year for me, that.
Yeah, I would say the highlight.
And with Wale Mania a couple of days before.
He's such a nice guy. Like, the highlight probably of his WWE run, realistically, because that was when NXT was moving back into the big buildings.
Yeah.
Not quite the level they're at now, but that was certainly an attempt to get them back out.
He was
post-pandemic.
He was on the leading figures with that. You kind of felt, I certainly felt, that the writing was on the wall for him on the main roster. I think I even talked about him on the WWE draft video as someone that maybe could go back to NXT and fight for the world title, because they were doing nothing with him on SmackDown. He had that great start. He beat, I think, Baron Corbin in like 6 seconds with the cave-in, and I thought, here we go. Then they didn't really do anything for him, and then I was very concerned when he was just fed to Bron Breakker on the April 12th episode of SmackDown. Trevor Lee, I have no doubt. I mean, I hope he signs with AEW, to be perfectly honest, because I feel like, you know, that's the next biggest promotion, but he is not going to struggle for it. There were some lovely messages from loads of people across the industry. Matt Cardona wished him luck and said, by the way, I don't catch dives. I saw Damian Priest commenting and Swerve and people like that. He's very much well-liked within the industry. Understandable why, in terms of being lucky enough to meet the guy. And I just love his character. I'm very excited to see what he does next.
Yeah, it'll be like less than 24 hours since his news broke. Yeah. And already this feels like a freezing cold take to say that he's going to be just fine.
Yes.
Like he was one of those names. Where I felt quite sorry for Cameron Grimes, Trevor Lee, within WWE, was that he was definitely a guy that had completed NXT before anyone on the main roster figured out how they wanted to use him.
Yeah.
Sometimes wrestlers get caught in that unfortunate hinterland. What you want to see in the ideal scenario, rarely does it work in truth, there's always bumps along the way, but is somebody do what Cameron Grimes had done in NXT, which was everything, pretty much, and then get that call up when they feel as fleshed out as they can possibly be on a developmental show. Look, Trevor Lee was a guy that was brought in the warehousing era, didn't need developing, maybe needed WWE seasoning.
Yeah.
Went and did that himself, like updated his look, like every now and then you'd see like a, look at what shape Cameron Grimes is in, Jesus Christ. And like he had his hair cut and his beard trimmed for the bit he was doing with Ted DiBiase at the time when he got rich off the GameStop.
Yeah, money crypto thing at the stuff time, on it.
Like, there was definitely a sweet spot where the 2.0 era of NXT and the Cameron Grimes character were really in lockstep. Mm-hmm. Like, Josiah Williams, I think, made the video for him at the time. It was like, this is perfect, and this character is ready to go. But the main roster never seemed to accommodate him in that way, and that was where we got stuck.
He was in that weird bit of, Triple H is in charge. Actually, no, Vince is in charge again. Actually, now Triple H, and it's...
Yeah.
You never really knew. They never. It was so stop start at that point for him.
He was fed comedy that was at points beneath him in NXT, and the same thing sort of happened for him in Impact Wrestling. He's got like a history on the indies that's like easy to go and find, where you can see that the work is there as well.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no doubt. Like, I would say AEW feels logical, but you never know with them if the quest is to sign more or sign less after the years of watching that roster swell. So we'll see. Yeah, just feels like it'll be fine, doesn't it?
Yeah, keep an eye out for him. Do support him, as I will, as we all will. Very excited to see what he does next. All the love from What Culture to Trevor Lee, though.
Yeah. Stepping into an arena of which I am completely underqualified to discuss for now, I think, there's a story that hasn't got wrestling ramifications yet, but could have enormous ones.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely huge ones. So the Federal Trade Commission, please don't switch off, has voted on a 3-2 to ban non-competes for all workers when regulations that they've just voted on take effect in 120 days. Companies will also have to throw out existing non-compete agreements. This is, of course, across America. The rule could still be challenged in court. This is like, that's the boring legal bit from FTC doing FTC stuff. Boring people in suits and in courtrooms and all that sort of stuff. What is interesting, of course, is that this is a term that we know in the wrestling community as a result of all the various releases like Cameron Grimes and others, where wrestlers have between 30 to 60 to 90, sometimes even longer, where they can't work anywhere else when they leave a company. This was something that became popularised, I guess, post Monday Night Wars, when you could really see the value of somebody jumping when Lex Luger kind of just didn't let them, I'll sign tomorrow. And then tomorrow was Monday, and Monday was Nitro, and Jesus Christ, Lex Luger's on Nitro. Jeff Jarrett, of course, infamously got out of his contract along with everything else he got so he could appear on Nitro the next 1999. This was because that practice was becoming lesser than, because the company saw...
Rick Rude was on both shows.
Yeah, like, so non-competes became the norm, really, and we all have had this thing where our favourite wrestler is on a countdown clock, and it's like, oh, when can they appear? And you start doing the maths as if they could appear at that pay-per-view because they'll be free of that. This could all be a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Obviously, this rule could be challenged. WWE historically has made enormous business changes to work around laws. The very existence of sports entertainment was as much a tax and legality break, specifically, I think, in the state of New Jersey, where Vince McMahon was just like, it's not real. And it got around sporting regulations. So there are always little bumps and hurdles along the way. But this, again, should it stick and should the rule go uncontested, great for Americans in normal lines of work, but potentially hugely interesting for pro wrestling as well.
Yeah, exactly. It probably is going to be challenged. We're probably going to be revisiting this in a few months' time. But nevertheless, this is a great sign for fans and for talent, really. I've always thought, I understand why companies did it, as you say, but I've always thought it was bollocks that they can just say, no, we don't want you to be able, are you going to... No, we're just going to... It's a bit like when they say, yeah, we'll sign you to a three-year contract. You can't possibly go anywhere else and decide it after a few months. Actually, I don't really want to do this. You're stuck with it. But we can turn around and just say, actually, no, we'll give you 30 days and say, see you later.
Should you say, like, outside of wrestling, it forces, like, normal people in normal jobs to be put into incredibly awkward situations if they want to move to rival companies, which would stand to reason because they developed a skill set which probably is, like, transferable to another company. The FTC estimates that 18% of the entire United States workforce is on a non-compete, so that, like, that would be around 30 million people that would be affected by this.
I like the idea.
If that's one of you today, like, I hope this does go through and your life gets a bit easier.
I like the idea of Lex Lugering your job. I'll be in on Monday. I'll see you then.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? Like, you're the opposite office.
Email from the new job.
Hey, guys. Can you pack up my desk for me?
I like that. You're actually doing any job. Just travel around on a bus and be jacked.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be a great life.
But, yeah. We'll circle back to this in the Twitter questions. We've got some interesting stuff to say about this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Let's talk a little bit more about Gunther, though, and the future for him and, I suppose, what's left of Imperium. Giovanni Vinci kicked in the head by Ludwig Kaiser. They lost a tag match to the New Day on Monday Night Raw. Gunther was fuming, stormed off, and Kaiser, at that point, knew what he had to do. He beat the crap out of his former friend. Obviously, it was sort of a staggered debut for Imperium anyway. Vinci reformed Imperium.
An early Triple H call-up, wasn't it?
A Clash at the Castle, yeah, because he'd been kept in NXT whilst Kaiser and Gunther were on the main roster. More on his gimmick in a second. They had been together since May of 2019, but yeah, Vinci was absent for a few months in 2022. But according to Fightful Select, tentative plans for WWE and Gunther see the former Intercontinental Champion still working together with Ludwig Kaiser going forward. Obviously, Gunther lost his IC titles to Sami Zayn at WrestleMania, 666 days as champion. But I like the fact that they're not completely splintering the group. Mm-hmm. And I just think Kaiser's great. I think Vinci's awesome as well. We'll get to him in a second, but he's a real compliment to Gunther, isn't he?
He is. I would like to think, now that Triple H has got this part of the split out of his system, we won't go back to that happening with Gunther and Kaiser like it did as well. Remember
that was
awkward. Like trial by chops that Gunther used to put in
through. Need that.
Like, if they are the unit, can we just let them be the unit? Yeah. Like, ultimately, like, down the line, the play for me would be that, like, Gunther's done everything as a heel, that Kaiser turns on him out of some sort of envy, and that's you, Gunther, babyface turn, or, like, and Gunther, like, kills him straight away for it. But let them show this, like, ultimate, terrifying solidarity in believing that, like, because there's a little bit of Gunther heel psychology of, like, I've lost the title because I had a weak link in my chain. It's not the case, but he can think that as a heel.
Yeah, so they weren't even at rings.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, let that kind of, like, be buried underneath it as well. So, yeah, as long as there's no more dissension now, the turn was super effective, I thought.
And with regards to Vinci?
Well, I think we've seen the best of Giovanni Vinci in such a short burst.
Wade Barrett shared this on X as well.
We were big fans on 2.0 of his supermodel look. Freeze frame entrance, the whole deal. Like
Veni Vidi Vinci.
An absolute piece of a man, wasn't he?
Oh, like, my God.
You've got to probably do the Imperium stuff, but sooner or later, run that back.
Yes. And as I pitched to you yesterday, getting very giddy, hey, maybe that opens door for the return of Maximum Male Models. I just want people to sell me water by pouring it on their arms.
Hey man, like, they might have kicked open their own forbidden door there, going to the soft ground guys.
Yes.
Like, I could see more.
They're a stream for them, aren't they? And selling t-shirts. I'm going to go and get one of those t-shirts. It's go good, and support them.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
Or just stick in with Pretty Deadly, because that could work as well, actually.
Yes
boy.
Oh, I hadn't even considered that. Yeah. SmackDown preview, Friday. We're going to talk about that. Right, we're going to talk about Vince McMahon. This comes with the usual content warning, trigger warning for those that obviously are affected by this. I know anyone affected by it, feel free to skip forward. There's also going to be quite a lot of reading about the cases, so I apologise for that on a personal level. And if you are watching this video, as always, with all of our coverage of this WWE sex trafficking story, there will be links in the when this video goes up in the information where you can donate to Rain. There are other causes if they are closer to you. But yes, you can donate directly from this video to Rain and do incredible work with help with survivors and whatnot. So the headline is ultimately that Vince McMahon has filed to compel arbitration in the Janelle Grant lawsuit. Translating that to the layperson, of which I am definitely one, they had a date with which to respond to the charges and have now responded. A bit of reading from the legal team, and then we have a response from Ann Callis, Janelle Grant's lawyer as well. McMahon's legal team says, by publicly filing... A quote from the legal team is, by publicly firing her salacious, false and defamatory complaint, plaintiff, that's of course Janelle Grant, has brazenly and intentionally violated the binding contract to arbitrate. That is of course the NDA that was referred to in the initial paperwork. Contrary to the plaintiff's false allegations, plaintiff and defendant engaged in a consensual relationship during which defendant never coerced plaintiff into doing anything and never mistreated her in any way. In fact, a love letter plaintiff wrote, you may recall a love letter that came out a few weeks ago, to defendant shortly before the parties ended their relationship. Plaintiff described the defendant as my best friend, my love, and everything. So they're referencing the use of the letter as part of the long defence. There's a number of other paragraphs in the filing that kind of push back on the various allegations that were levied in the massive, massive lawsuit that, of course, we all read a few months ago. It goes on. At the time the parties met in 2019, plaintiff was, quote, not dealing with profound grief from her parents' death and struggling financially, as described in her complaint, and she had not been, quote, devoting years of around-the-clock caregiving. Those statements are complete falsehoods. Based on a foreclosure accident against the plaintiff's father passed away on April 18th, 2017, 2 years before the plaintiff met the defendant. Just to reiterate, plaintiff Janelle Grant, defendant Vince McMahon, and his marital status was recorded as widowed, confirming plaintiff's mother had passed earlier. There's also mention of Janelle Grant living with her fiancé at the time of the relationship with Vince McMahon, which again pushes back on some of the comments in the initial lawsuit. I should point out a lot of this was taken from an excellent Wrestling Observer gathering of the paperwork, but you can find it all online in its original form as well as broken down into quotes. We'll have Andrew Pollard has done something for WhatCulture.com today, so you can find all of the sort of extra details. So I'll not do too much more reading, but that is ultimately the long and short of the McMahon's legal team's response. It's picking up on specific dates and specific references to where maybe Janelle Grant was in her life and suggesting that like some of that might not be as it was presented.
Trying to poke holes in it,
Yeah, indeed. The filing from the McMahon's legal team concluded, quote, when the complaint's allegations are adjudicated in the proper forum, witnesses are called to testify under oath and all communications between parties are produced, the allegations and claims will be disproven and the plaintiff will be exposed for the liar she is. Meanwhile, for the foregoing reasons and as set forth further below, defendant's motion should be granted. In response to that, Ann Callis, the lawyer representing Janelle Grant, gave a statement to WrestleNomics and Post Wrestling, who, of course, have been like cobbling together a lot of fantastic reporting on this story in general. This is from Ann Callis direct. Quote, Vince McMahon has never known a storyline that he doesn't twist to fit his own shameful narrative. Her father was in in-home hospice during his final days, where Janelle continued to care for him around the clock. Again, just to reiterate, the father passes away in 2017. It was alleged that Janelle Grant wasn't caring for him. Prior to his death, she had been caring for a blind, wheelchair-bound mother. Using the grief of someone who lost both her parents is an all-new level of disgusting. Her ex-boyfriend, that's the fiancé that they're referring to, allowed her to stay in the apartment as she rebuilt her life and resumed post-taking care of her parents. She had no job and no other financial support to lean back on. So a very definitive and declarative statement pushing back the pushback. This is how these legal things happen, of course. Again, if any of the sort of comments that we've kind of shared here and any things that you're reading and seeing online, of which there is obviously a lot of exposure to, have affected you in any way, just to reiterate, there are places you can reach out to that will be linked in this video below.
Yeah, not a lot I really want to say about this one, to be perfectly honest. I kind of feel like we've covered a lot of it. I don't think it needs litigating in the comment section either, really.
No.
It's just going to be something we're just going to keep you updated on. And
it is literally being litigated, which is ultimately where it's got to happen, isn't it?
I think the most important thing to come from this, as always, is supporting the people that need your support. As Hamlet mentioned, links to Rain in the description below. And as I always say, just believe survivors.
Yeah.
Because it's horrific. Any detail that comes out of this story is awful to hear about.
It's getting worse before it gets better, and even when it gets better, does it really get that much better?
Indeed. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions, at WhatCultureWWE on X. Of course, you want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from... Wait a second. There it is. It comes from Cheap Souls, who says, how do you think the FTC ban on non-compete clauses will affect companies releasing talent? The reason I asked you this is because I have seen a lot of people saying, oh, this can be really exciting, and obviously it's not going to take effect yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a feeling, like now, if you're WWE, let's just use this as an example. I'm not saying WWE is going to be doing this necessarily more than AEW. I think both companies could well do this. And you know All In or Double or Nothing's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you release talent on the Friday before or the Monday after?
Well, and I would flip that conversation slightly. If you are the talent, do you not get to use that to your advantage? And again, we talk about how so often the wrestlers don't have a great deal of rights. They are both independent contractors, and then to your point earlier on, trapped within contracts that don't allow them to work anywhere else. Like, if you were having somebody do building work on your house, you wouldn't theoretically be able to stop them going and doing a half day on somebody else's house as long as they were performing their duties effectively for you. I would, if I'm a wrestler, I'm thinking, oh, well, can't have noticing that All In's on Sunday, and you haven't got me locked down for Monday. What are we going to do about that? Like, I welcome those becoming like new conversations to be had. Wrestlers getting new deals that then have to be honoured is great for them. I would expect to see, if it hasn't already been tightened up in the last few years, as it has, this whole, you know, this deal where like the injury extends the deal. We've seen more and more of them cropping up over the last few years. You're going to get a lot of that. To the day, to the hour, minute and second, if you are out injured.
I would notice you were 5 minutes late today. If we had that up for the 3 years we've been with the company.
All of this stuff will, you will just notice more of it, I feel.
Generally, it looks a lot better for the talent, doesn't it?
I think so. Like, that's what we're always like campaigning for when these things come around, because they're some of the most underpaid people in the world.
Yeah.
Even the richest ones. Like, they're some of the most underpaid people around for what they do for a living. You want to fall on the floor now, Will Bomber? Or should we just sit in our chair?
Absolutely not. I mowed the lawn on Sunday and I still hurt all over.
Yeah. I hope that one day we get a story where a wrestler doesn't debut at a major pay-per-view because they've just got an enormous bag to stay on and stick off the wall.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Second question today comes from Mark Solid, and before we get to the question, Mark says, look at those eyes and that little smile on a Wednesday morning. Aww.
Looks like you got the wrong news host for this one, Mark.
He's even got a little purple Judgment Day jacket.
All right, I'm in. I'm back in.
Morning news legends, morning Mark.
You've got the flipping Judgment Dog.
Yay! Thoughts on if Roman or Rollins will be champion again first? And quick thoughts on a heel Rollins versus face Roman match down the line?
It's more likely than the other way at this point.
Yeah.
Which is amazing to think about, considering how their finish of WrestleMania played out. Roman getting his redemption as a heel, and it ultimately cost him everything, was such an unexpected and nice add-on to a match that, let's just say, wasn't short of add-ons in the main event of WrestleMania 40.
Cinema.
That anyway, it was absolutely cinema. That chair shot, which again, he smashed the living out of him at the Royal Rumble when they had that match. So it hasn't like he hasn't had a go.
Yeah.
But I got it and I bought it. So yeah, Seth's heel turn against Cody Rhodes feels inevitable down the roads.
Yes.
Down the roads.
Oh.
Assuming that Seth and Becky stick around, of course.
Yeah.
In WWE. That would be the one thing I would say working against anything.
Get well soon, Seth, as well. I feel bad for bad-mouthing some of his stuff in the build-up to WrestleMania now, knowing he's working through it. Was it mid-torn meniscus?
Do you remember back in January when he was maybe not going to be cleared? And then he just was, and we all went, oh good, that's fine. That's how bodies work. Everything is definitely fine.
You're always selling that knee injury a little bit much. Oh, because it's real.
The other thing I will say on this as well is that stat that went round about, like, there was the 5-day window before John Moxley won the IWGP title, and it was the first, it was like less than a week, where I remember the Shield hasn't held a title or something in however many years it was. They're never not going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
That's what that reminds you. They are made men. So, yeah, I could absolutely see that. Roman Reigns has already been chanted for. The fans have picked up on the clues after 2 weeks of the new bloodline. So the Roman Reigns babyface turn is going to be generational. So if the stars align, definitely Roman and Seth going again.
And I think Rollins will be champion before Roman is again, because I think Roman's going to do more part-time schedule as he deserves to be honest.
Yeah, at the moment, you kind of only visualise Roman in big matches and very few of them need the belt.
Yeah, you don't need titles. Rock Roman doesn't need a title.
Yeah.
You can have a tribal chief title if you want.
Well, the graveyard dogs haven't exploded, but now obviously there's law because Undertaker turned on his former tag partner to beat up The Rock. So.
Final question today comes from Clayton Williams, a.k.a. Clay Will. He says, how are you both? We're good.
Oh, I'm very well. How are you, Clay Will?
Good.
We were just asking.
With the draft going up in a few days, do you think we'll see some returns like Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss?
Those names feel not conspicuous by their absence, whatever the opposite of that is, in all the Bo Dallas teasers.
Yeah.
Like anyone tied to Bray Wyatt lore could be folded back into it quite easily. Alexa Bliss has spoken so fondly of working with Bray.
Yeah.
It's like gone on record as saying it was her favourite time of her career. I always loved Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman's chemistry for what it's worth. And if they both exist...
Team Little Big, were they?
Yeah, if they can both exist within that universe, great. Alexa Bliss, definitely. For me, you know, I tell you, the biggest victim of Braun Strowman's injury hasn't even been Braun Strowman, it's been Ricochet.
Yes!
What a team they were. Ricochet has gone back to that singles kind of like... Obscurity is unfair. Triple H evidently likes him more than Vince McMahon ever did. But he's still not really... Getting up there.
Semi-finals of WWE Speed, mate.
Indeed.
So, mate, your words.
I apologise. But yeah, great tag team. I'd put them back together by choice. But if we are seeing Bo Dallas and Eric Rowan and potentially Alexa Bliss, like at some point they will get to referencing that Braun was there too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I could definitely see them going back.
A camera shot of Cody's bus. Everything's going great for him a few months down the line. Wait a second though. What's that I can hear? Chuka 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 chuka. Train runs through it. Strowman Express is back, baby.
Like Cody's just like having a drink. Him and Jey Uso, libations, post-match. And all of a sudden you just see...
Yeet!
You just see the like them tipping sideways. Cuts to the outside, Braun's tipping the bus over.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like he did the cars and ambulances.
I just want to run back Braun's probably best ever feud. Braun with Shane McMahon. We watched that again the other day. It's weird.
Pandemic stuff is odd on rewatch.
Yeah.
That is the oddest.
Yeah.
That is the oddest ever.
It's just like, have you forgotten the promo? Or is this what you always plan? And then the way you run. Watch
then,
it.
And then it's like, right, we can't trust him with any lightings. Can we trust him with a ginormous vat of green goo? And you're like, I can get there, guys.
I really don't want to rip the side off the thing at Mania.
The goo was very green.
It's good.
It did look good.
Right, let us know your thoughts on that and everything we've discussed in the comment section below. Like, share, subscribe. You know what to do. And why not check out this video right here? We'll see you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.